So where are we going to turn tonight? Oh, better than last week. Good. James. Everybody say James. All right. I got good news and bad news. The good news is we're in James tonight. The bad news is we're over with James tonight. But then I got good news to you. But we're going to go somewhere else. So, Pastor, where are we going next week? You got to come next week, and I'll tell you. Open your Bibles to James. Let's look at the fifth chapter. James, the fifth chapter. And let's start in the seventh verse. James, the fifth chapter, seventh verse. Or let's, guys in the back, follow me. Let's first go to the first chapter, and let me read the fourth verse. James 1:4 says this, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Wow, that is a mouthful, is it not? How many would like to be perfect and lack nothing? Let me ask that again. How many would like to be perfect and lack nothing? And I know that that word perfect actually means mature. I know that. But how many would like to be mature and lacking nothing? How many would like in your life that the things come your way and because of your maturity, what it's really saying is because of your maturity, you're at a place where you can handle anything comes your way. Nothing riles you. Am I the only one that get riled? But there is a place in God that we can be. And let me say this. There's so much emphasis. How many know if you put the emphasis on the wrong syllable, a word can sound not even like a word. Like you don't even recognize the word. Sometimes, you know what? You'll be listening to someone and they might not know that word like you know that word, and they'll put the emphasis on the wrong portion of the word, and it'll take you a while to figure out what they're saying. What am I saying? Well, why? Well, maybe that English is maybe their second language, and maybe they're not familiar with that word like you're familiar with that word, but it's makes it harder to understand. It'll take you a while, and then all of a sudden you're saying, oh, that's what they're saying. Well, what happens is many times we get too much emphasis on one issue and not enough emphasis on another issue. What are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. There is so much emphasis in the church about sin, carnality, the reality that we're carnal, the reality that we are, until we get to heaven, we're going to have this flesh. A lot of emphasis on our flesh. A lot of emphasis on our sin nature. And I'm not saying all that's not real. What I'm saying is that there's way too much emphasis on the wrong thing. And because I'm talking about preachers, I'm talking about people that are communicating the gospel and they're focused on your sin nature and your sin nature and your sin nature. And the emphasis is, but you're always going to have that with you, but you're always going to have that with you, but you're always going to have that with you, but you're always going to, and you're always going to, and you're always going to, and there's all this emphasis. Well, let me ask you this. Yeah, that's true, but start noticing how little Paul notices or pays attention to your sin nature. Start noticing how little time in the Gospels Jesus talks about your sin nature. James doesn't talk a lot about your sin nature. He talks about it because it's real and we need to talk about it, but the emphasis is, hey guys, Well, let me here. Let me see. Oh, what do we read? When do we read our Bible at Hope? And what chapter are we in today? 2 Corinthians, what? We're in 12? Oh my goodness. All right. I meant yesterday. So I'm still a chapter behind. So yesterday, listen what we read yesterday. Okay, and you said, I don't know. No, we read our Bible when?
Every day.
And even if you don't read your Bible every day, you know what? Today is the day to start. Amen? And so today we're in chapter 12. You know what? Tomorrow we'll be in chapter 13. But yesterday, I read this today, but yesterday when you were reading this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, watch what Paul writes. He does this stuff all the time. Watch. Oh, that you would bear with me a little folly. You know what he's saying? He's saying, hey, guys, I would really like if you would be able to hang tough with me. Even a little bit. That's what he's saying. But notice what he says right after that. And indeed, you do bear with me. Well, what is it? Are these people bearing with him or are they not? Because the first thing he says is, man, oh, that you would. And then he says, but you do. All eyes up here. What's he saying? Here's what he's saying. He's speaking to your spirit. Here's what he's doing. He's pulling you up. See, here's what you are. Inside your heart, you have the soul and you have the spirit. Most people, listen to this, really important. Most people don't understand that. Most people, if you ask most Christians, you know what? Oh, talk to me about your spirit. Oh, spirit. Yes, spirit. I am a spirit. Yes. And what about your heart? Oh, yes, I have a heart. And talk to me about your soul. Oh, yes, there is the soul. You know what I mean? And if you ask most Christians that, they have no idea. They just kind of, they think they're synonymous. Your heart and your soul and your spirit, they think that's all synonymous. They think it's like, oh, pick one. You know what? Your soul is going to heaven. Your spirit is going to heaven. Your heart's going to heaven. They just don't understand what the difference is. Listen to me. There's a big difference between your spirit and your soul and your heart. Okay, let me teach it to you. Your heart is who you are, the center of who you are. It's not what's beating. Your heart represents the real you, who you are, the center. And in the center, you have two things. You have the spirit man and you have the soul man. The spirit man was put in your heart when you got born again. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay. But when the spirit man went in there, the soul man got a roommate. Hello? And what's a soul? The soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And your mind can be carnal, and your will can be carnal, and your emotion. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. How many know your emotions can be carnal? Okay. So you say the soul is your mind, your will, and emotions. Now those three live with your spirit. And what most people do, parents, this is really good that you learn this. Grandparents, I'm going to teach you something really, really important. So your 8-year-old or your 12-year-old or your 14-year-old or however old your kids are, they start to act up. And you start to see them in how they are because you've seen their behavior. Okay. Here's what Paul's doing. Look, oh, that you would bear with me a little folly. Who is he talking to there? Here's he talking to. He's talking to one, say it like this. He's talking to one person, even though he's talking to a lot of people. But say it like this. He's talking to one person, but he's noticing there's two different parts. Time out. Does that make any sense? Oh, that you would bear with me a little folly. And indeed, you do bear with me. Is this guy, what's up? Is this guy schizophrenic? What is it? Because he's just saying, oh, that you would, but you do. What's he doing? Here's what he's doing. And he does this all the time. He's speaking to one person with two parts. He's speaking and he sees them how they are, but then he's speaking to the Spirit. And when you speak to the Spirit and you don't look at the carnal, many times, how many of you have been here in this church? And I'm speaking to you and I'm encouraging you and I'm saying, man, let me tell you what, you're generous. Let me tell you what, we're going to build that thing. We're going to do it soon. You know what I mean? And you weren't even thinking about, you're like, man, you know what? I mean, you wouldn't even buy your friend a cup of coffee in the morning. You're like, buy your own coffee. But all of a sudden, I'm speaking to you, and all of a sudden, inside you, you think, you know what? Wow, I want to be part of that. Or I'm speaking to you, man, I'm saying, let me tell you what, you're a man of God, you're awesome, I trust you, you know what, you love your wife, you treat your wife good, you forgive, you know what, you walk in love, when you get home, you ain't gonna kiss her on the cheek, you know what, you won't give her a big smack right on the lips, man, that's what you're gonna do, because that's who you are, man. You're thinking, man, that's one. And you're thinking, man, I'm going to smack her right on the lips, man. And you go home and you smack her right on the lips. She's thinking, what in the world has God into you? Let me tell you who what got into you. I spoke to your spirit, man, and it raised up. Is this making sense? That's what Paul's doing right here. Oh, that you would bear with me a little while. Who is he talking to? Soul man. Because in reality, there's people who aren't bearing up with him. And he wants them to bear up with him. He wants them to be tough because the church grows as each part, the Bible says in Ephesians, as each part does its share. Listen, it is not my responsibility that we get Pico Rivera saved. It's our responsibility that we get Pico Rivera saved. Do you understand this? And I have a big part in this, but you have a big part in this. You know what I mean? You want me to sing it to you? We're all in this together. We're all in this together, guys. And so I'm going to speak to your spirit and say, you know what? But what I'm saying as an introduction to this whole thing, you've got to understand that there is so much emphasis when you're listening a lot of times to these preachers on the radio and they're talking about in the negative, they're talking to your soul what you're not. And Paul's not ignoring that, but he won't stop there. He's going to say, oh, he's going to speak from his heart, oh, that you would bear with me. You know what I mean? But then he recognizes, oh, let me tell you what. But you are. You're going to get this thing. Amen? Amen. And how many recognize? And don't get critical. Because a person next to you, you know what? They're not as spiritual as you are. Amen? Let me tell you what. That mentality is a carnal mentality. That is one of the most, if you think you're better than somebody else, you prove that you are one of the most carnal people in the room. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I'm telling you what. Because what am I saying? Well, maybe in this case, maybe there were people who could handle a little bit, but maybe there were other people who couldn't handle that. But that doesn't mean they're not going to handle something, you know what, next week or next month. I'm just asking, how many of you just, when you got born again, you accepted Jesus, and from that day on, you were just mature, didn't mess up. You know what I mean? I mean, you just had it together. See, no, what happened? God, it was what we're going to talk about tonight. God was patient with you, patient with you, patient with you, patient with you, patient with you. And even though there were times that you kept on falling down, God said, because you kept on getting back up, God said, no, let me call you what you are. You are righteous. And so there was a day that you never fell in that area. Is that not right? How many raise your hands and say, you got it together in some areas in your life? Okay, come on. Somebody raise their hand on this. See, you're like, I don't know what it is. You know, is that humble? No, I'm just saying, come on. There's some areas. You guys got it together. Amen. I'm not saying all areas. But there's some areas you do have it together. And listen to me. And those areas are areas that you might looked at it last year and you didn't even have it together in that area. Is that right? Or 5 years ago, you didn't have it together. Is that right? What happened? What happened? God was gracious to you. Jesus is praying for you. You know what? Just like this, he said, you know, oh, that you would bear with me a little folly. You know what? And indeed, you do bear with. See, what's he doing? He's speaking the things that aren't as though they were. Amen. Because that's how God does, and that's how we should do. Amen. So I'm just saying, here, let's go back to the text, that there is a place that you can be mature, that you can handle everything that comes to you. Listen to me. I said all that to say, that is true. And what we tend to do is get way too quick to argue against that. Yeah, but, and you want to talk about the flesh. Stop it. Stop it. Stop focusing on the old nature. Start to focus on the new nature. Start to put on garments of righteousness. So I tell you what, that's where I'm going to be. See, if I said that, there's a place where you can be so mature that you can handle anything. Honestly, in this room, most of you would say, yes, hallelujah, amen. Yes, when we get to heaven, hallelujah, that will be the day. Okay? And that's the problem. Because that's not what James is talking about. And so we have to trust these spiritual men who are mature and who are led by the Spirit, that Jesus, God himself, is breathing through them. Listen, you don't believe? Believe God. You know what Jesus said? Trust in God. Don't argue with God. And don't say, I'm not the person. That's what we think. Oh, yes, everybody else, but not me, because I am. And we have our certain things because we know ourselves. No, say me. Say no. If anyone's going to get this, I'm going to get this. Amen? Are you getting anything out of this tonight? I don't know if we'll get to on my notes, but that's all right. Where are my notes? I don't know. They're here, but we're not getting to them yet. We'll see what happens. Oh, yeah, thank you. Guys in the back, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5. Someone raise your hand and say, I'm all that in a bag of chips. Because of Jesus Christ. Look what he said. You guys just read this. You just read this. I read this. I was like, oh my goodness. Paul is such a bad dude. Because he says stuff like this. For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostle. What's he saying there? Here, let me revise this. Here's what Paul's saying. I am all that in a bag of chips. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. And we get on people who act like that and talk like that. And I'm not saying that you don't need to have a spirit of humility on you. You do need to be humble. But humble is saying what God is saying. You say what God says about you. Amen? Amen. Yeah, but see, that kind of verbiage, is you got to shut that down. You know why? Here's why. Because you hear yourself. How many know faith comes through hearing? And so you keep on regurgitating. You know what? I'm always going to have a problem with this. I'm never going to be free from lust. I'm always going to have a problem with my weight. I never get out of debt. All this stuff you just keep on saying. Paul don't say that about himself. He's very careful. He's very, very. He says, you know what Paul says? We just read this recently. Paul says, I have wronged no one. Oh yeah, the guy who hauled away women, even women, back to Jerusalem to be slaughtered, to be beaten. He says, "Man, I said all that to say this. You are all that in bag of chips." And when James says that there is this patience that can be developed in you, that you would be perfect and whole and complete and mature, that anything that comes to you, you're like, we got this. Stop thinking that is non-obtainable. Because let me teach you something. If the Bible says there's a place where you can obtain that, then even though in your mind it might not seem possible, you've got to lean not into your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways. No, I'm going to walk in victory in these areas in my life with the help of Jesus Christ. Because if you don't start getting on that track, here's the problem. If you're on the wrong track, going the wrong way, you know, you can't get on a plane going, you can't get on a train going Chicago, you know, and you get off and you're like, oh, I don't understand why I'm in Chicago. I tell you why, because you got on a train that had tracks running to Chicago. Well, I thought I wanted to go to San Diego. Then get on the train that goes to San Diego. Amen? See, you're on the wrong train. You got to get off that train. You got to start saying what God says about you. You know what? And I understand it's a process. But let God work out that process. You just keep on saying what God says about you. Did you learn something tonight? Are you learning something tonight? So, what is possible? Patience is possible. Everybody say patience is possible. And you can be so developed in your patience. Yeah, but I'm not there right now. Do I need to start all over again? See, that's what I'm saying. Get off the emphasis. Your emphasis is on the wrong syllable. Stop saying that. All right, are you learning something? Go to James, guys in the back. James chapter 5, verse 7 through 12. Quickly, very quickly. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precise fruit of the earth, waiting patiently until for it until it receives the early and latter rain. So he gives the example of a farmer, and the farmer has to wait. There's first the early rain, then there's a latter rain, and the farmer knows all this. We're not really very farmer-ish, but they understood all this. But you had to wait. Everybody say wait. Okay. And if you waited patiently, then you would receive the fruit. I like what one evangelist said. He said, when you're fishing, don't pull your hook up out of the water. And here's what we do. We're fishing and we're believing for something, but in our faith, what's faith? Faith is the evidence of things, somebody help me, hope for. Everybody say hope for. The assurance, everybody say assurance, of what is not seen. Everybody say not seen. Can I just teach you something? Jesus' talk sounds crazy. Hey, let me give you a deep revelation. They hung Jesus. They killed him. Their family thought he was Looney Tunes. Read your Bible. His family thought he was nuts. And eventually, you know what? All the disciples started leaving him. Why? Because they were like, this guy is out there. We're out of here. And he told his disciples, you guys want to go too? You guys want to go too? And Peter says, who else has got the words of life? Well, let me tell you what. I am mature enough, spiritual enough to understand, even though they don't get it, I get it. You are right. I'm just telling you, I speak things spiritually to you. And they've got to be spiritually discerned. Because if you filter this stuff through the intelligence of your mind, of your carnal nature, you just go, oh, that's, you know what? You know what the Bible says? That we just read it in our daily Bible reading, that that it's foolishness to the world. It says, stay on the simplicity of Jesus. He died for your sins. So you have salvation. Wholeness, the Bible is the word. You are whole. Well, that don't make any sense. Okay, maybe it don't make any sense to the world, but it's simple and it's true. Amen? So it might not make any sense that you are believing for your husband to turn around, that you're believing for your wife to turn around, that you're believing for your kids to turn around, that you're believing for whatever you're believing for. You're believing that you're going to get out of debt. You're tithing. And all your friends tell you you're crazy, you're cracked, you're all this stuff. Listen, here's the reality. Whatever it is, you're walking in forgiveness. And you've got your aunt telling you, what are you doing? You don't take that. Don't take that. You don't have to put up with that. All this stuff and what you're about, what are they trying to do? Here's what they're trying to do, get you to pull your fishing pole out of the water. To back off. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. The assurance of something not seen. Here's what the Bible says. You know what? That, you know, I don't have to hope for a podium. You know why I don't have to hope for a podium? Because I have a podium. See, hope, the Bible says, if you can see it, it's not hope. Amen? I'll look at all these hope shirts. Hope community. We're a community that is hoping for something that we can't see. And here's what the Bible says. That is a good thing. And if you will continue to be patient, that's a big if, amen? Because there's so many people, and you might have done that. You might be here tonight and your fishing pole is out of the water. And you're like, man, I tell you what, I was fishing for 3 years. I was believing all that stuff. I'm going to tell you what, it don't work. Ooh. Why are you saying it don't work? I got proof it don't work. Well, what's your proof? Proof is that I don't catch no fish. I tried doing that. It don't work. No. Here's the only proof you have. You do have proof. Here's your proof that you tried it for 3 years and then you gave up. And I will tell you what, that is true. Trying it for 3 years and giving up won't work. For all you know, it was 3 years and 4 days that you needed. And you pulled it up at 3 years. You were 4 days away from your breakthrough. And you're going to tell me it don't work. Let me tell you what. You can say whatever you want. You can believe whatever you want. And you can think that you have the facts because you have proof because you tried it. What I'm saying is, that's not how patient works. The farmer is patient. And what's he doing? What's he doing? Watch this. What do you think he's doing while after he gets that seed in the ground? You think he's just eating bonbons, watching Green Acres? You know what I mean? Hello? That was supposed to be more funny than it was, but that's probably for an older crowd. Okay, anyway. All I'm saying is, what's he doing? Let me tell you what he's doing. Exactly, I heard it. He's watering that. What's that take? That takes faith. He's saying, no, it's going to come in. I'm going to continue to do it. What's he doing? He's cleaning up his barns. He's getting his tractor ready to pull in the harvest. He's preparing himself. He doesn't even see the fullness of it, but he's believing for it anyway. That is what God wants us to do. God wants us to walk by faith, not by sight. And let me tell you what that's going to take. It's going to take patience. Look at, I'll just teach a little bit because I got to go pretty soon. But look at well, let's go ahead and start at 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Until when? Is Jesus Christ come back yet?
No.
Okay. Here, I love you. Then get your hook back in the water. Amen? What can I give up? When Jesus comes, amen? Get your hook back in the water. How the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently until it receives the earth early in latter rain. So also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Listen, what's the coming of the Lord represent? He's going to do what he says he's going to do. Everything he said he's going to do is going to happen. So just be patient. Verse 10. Do not grumble against one another, brethren. Now, why is grumbling put up in this talk about? He wasn't even talking about your words and grumbling, complaining. Why? Here's why. Because grumbling represents the opposite in patience and faith. It's the opposite. Listen, you can't be grumbling and be in faith. You can't get an elevator and go up or down. And this, you're either going up or you're going down. You're either trusting in God, believing what he says, even though you might not see it, or you're complaining. You're either going up or you're going down. There's no two. That's why he brings it up right here when he's talking about patience. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. By your words, you're going to be justified, and by your words, you're going to be condemned. God is not going to judge anyone. God is simply going to turn the light on. That's all he's going to do. And then your actions are going to judge you. What he said is going to judge you. His word, the Bible, Jesus says. Your word. Jesus even said, I'm not going to judge you. But my word is going to judge you. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Guys, this is right upon us. You might think you've got a long time to get it together. No, today is the day of wholeness for you. Today is the day to stop grumbling. Today is the day to start trusting in God. Amen? Today is the day. Well, I just thought I was on. I just wanted to come here to just... No. God has got a bigger picture for you. Amen? My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. You know, the Bible says we receive how we receive the things of God, the promises of God, through two ways, through faith and patience. Verse 11. Now, indeed, count them blessed who endure. Why are they blessed? Count them blessed who endure. Here's why. Because they keep their fishing pole in the water and they catch fish. So you think it ain't going to happen? Let me tell you what. You're deceived. God cannot lie. His promises are yea and amen. You consider him slow. Well, he's not slow. You think he's slow. But he's not slow. He's just got some other stuff going on. But don't judge God. Don't make a decision. You're not God. Stop judging God. Just keep your fishing pole in the water. That's how you're going to catch fish. Just put your trust in God. Just keep on believing for your wife. Just keep on believing for your husband. Just keep on believing for your kids. Just keep on believing. Just keep on doing what is right. Trust me. Trust God. You're going to wake up today, one day, and it's going to be changed. Amen. Well, Pastor, that's what happened to me. My back was so sore, so painful, I could barely walk. So what did you do? I said, by his stripes, I'm whole. I'm healed because of Jesus Christ. He has provided that for me. And every day I would get up, and that's what I would say, and that's what I would believe. And what happened? Nothing happened for a long time. It got worse. Well, what happened then? I don't know. I woke up one day, and it didn't hurt. And it went till 4 o'clock that I kind of recognized, hey, my back don't hurt no more. Amen. Oh, well, Pastor, that was probably just you slept on it wrong, and then you slept on it right. Listen, you can call it whatever. Listen to me. Listen, this is important that you understand this. Because there are theologians. They're not theologians. I don't know what you call them. They call them theologians, but they're not. There's good theologians. But there are people in Bible schools who will sit there and tell you why the Red Sea parted. That it didn't really part. That every once in a while there's something that happens in the Delta. And they'll give all this reason. And actually, what happened was it just dried up. That's happened. And they will tell you that the miracles of God were just every single one of them. Yeah. Professors teaching in Bible colleges or in seminaries. I'm just saying, if I'm the president of that seminary, anybody who doesn't believe that the miracles were supernatural, I don't want them teaching no Bible students that. Let me tell you what happened. God supernaturally, you know what, lifted up the one side and the other side and held back the water. That's what happened. That's what happened. Well, how did you, listen, here, let me tell you what I know. I was so jacked up, and then one day, I wasn't so jacked up. And in the time, I just kept my fishing pole in the water, believing that I was healed. Amen. That's the truth. Amen. Amen. Indeed, we count them blessed. What? Who endured? Why do we count them blessed? Because we see the fish on their pole. We're like, man, they got so lucky. Look at that fish. No, they didn't get lucky. They kept their pole in the ground. Not in the ground. In the water. That's not luck. That's faith. That's trusting God through a season sometimes. That's what they did. You have heard the perseverance of Job and see the end intent by the Lord. Now we'll stop there. You saw the end intent of the Lord. What was the end intent of the Lord? Well, what's the end of the story? See, people talk about Job for so long, and yet let James, inspired by the Holy Spirit, teach you about Job. Because let me tell you what, you cannot, this is the Holy Spirit narration of the story of Job. So put the commentary away and let James do the commentary on Job. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because that's good Bible study. And James says the intent of the Lord was, well, look at the end. Does anybody know what happened to Job at the end? What happened, Tony, to Job at the end? I don't think it was triple. Okay, well, now we have a big debate, okay? Here's what I want to say. I'll make it simple. He got at least double what he started with. Can the theologians agree with me on that? Okay. That's the intent. How do I know that's the intent of God? Because, see, we've got to count it all joy when we go through trials, knowing that what God intends for us, the intention of God, is his goodness. So, Pastor, what are you saying? Keep your pole in the ground and believe that God is a good God. And when you reel in that fish, you know what? Then you'll be able to tell your kids, look what mommy and daddy did, trusting in God. And you'll show them. Did you learn something today? Yes. Amen.